Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Readers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. This is take two. Hopefully this one sticks.
Good thing we caught the entire podcast.
Good thing we got that like early, because if we had to like retalk, I'd be super pissed.
Yeah, no,
we've done that before and it fucking sucks.
Yeah, but not like the whole episode. But yeah, I did catch that early,
like a solid chunk.
So yeah, so take two of Trade Waiters.
Yeah,
welcome everybody.
We got time codes in our description for things like the poll list, Back Matter Matters, the book. But we start with what?
The news, Daniel.
Yep.
What do we got going on this week?
Nathan.
What's up?
Some sad news.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible news.
God, this happened. It felt like an eternity ago.
A tragedy. No, it feels so fresh.
It's so fresh, but I've thought about it every day.
Yeah.
But anyway, what happened?
The voice acting legend, Kevin Conroy, has passed away, unfortunately.
That sucks.
Sucks so bad.
So much. And it was so sudden, I had no idea.
Yeah, I guess he was just like, he's been sick for a little while and is kind of under wraps and just happened suddenly recently.
Mm-hmm.
Like a fellow voice actor kind of broke the news
to
social media and whatnot.
And he's like always been like the definitive Batman voice to me. Yeah. Not only just because of the like the animated series, but he's like the one that does all the Arkham games.
Yeah.
So like
everyone else is just trying to be as good as Kevin Conroy, but they can't.
And he's so good. Like throughout the effortless. Like hours and like dozens of hours of gameplay, the quality stays consistent and it just bangs. Like he
absolutely
loves it. And then I liked hearing like how he got the role initially, and he's like this theater like actor kind of dude, and like kind of took the role seriously, and like immediately when he heard about Batman, he was like, oh, like the Adam West one, and they're like, no, don't do that. And then
not at all.
He even tried like auditioning for like Harvey Bullock or something, because he's like, this character seems really interesting to me, you know.
So yeah, it's Harvey like Bullock Commissioner Gordon, he thought were like interesting characters, and wanted to be them.
He was like, he was a real actor's actor, you know.
Yeah.
So it sucks, but he really did kind of define Batman in a lot of ways to a lot of people. So
what's weird is like I had been meaning to post like the cameo that we got from him,
mm-hmm.
and it was just, and then that happened. I'm like, oh crap, did I do this? I don't know.
It was all you.
Yeah. Just cause there's like things I've been meaning to post.
Yeah.
And like when there's like a lull or something like that. But I just remember buying that like in the morning, and then I went to work. And then like at like 11 a.m., it was like in my email.
That's
I'm like,
so
this
sick.
Is like so quick. And like my heart fucking like went through the floor because of how fucking stoked I was.
Yeah.
And then I watched it and it was like a minute and a half. And I was like, this is so cool.
I thought was it a minute and a half?
It was like, it felt long. It was like a long video.
I felt like it was like 4 minutes or something.
It might have been.
Because I expected him to be like, hey, Trade Waiters, nice job on 100 episodes or whatever you told him or wanted him to say. And then he just like kept going.
Yeah.
And so he really had like a lot of passion for, I don't know, whatever. Like he just, you could tell.
He didn't feel like it was like scripted at all. He was just speaking from the heart. He doesn't know us, but he's still making like the video like worth it. You know? And it was just so cool.
Yeah. He's a cool guy.
So, yeah, that was terrible.
Did you know he wrote like a Batman like one-shot thing or like a one-page? Or it was part of a Batman like anthology book or something, and he part of it, yeah.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
More bad news, Nathan, unfortunately.
What's that?
The comic book world lost comic book artist Kevin O'Neill. He is the artist on League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh, shit.
With Alan Moore.
Yeah, I didn't hear about this.
Yeah, it was...
I don't think, at least.
He's only done like a handful of things, and the League was like the thing he's most known for.
Yeah.
Rest in peace to him as well.
Dude, so many people.
I know.
This year, specifically.
I hate this year.
I feel like has had the biggest like comic book like culture like deaths, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's been a tough year. What else we got, Daniel?
There was... So Studio Ghibli posted this thing, and it was just the Lucasfilm like logo thing
with Star Wars.
With Star Wars,
yeah.
And I was like, "Oh, what is that?" And then it turns out that they were the ones making that like Grogu short film thing.
Mm-hmm.
And did that's that come out already.
Yeah. Did you watch it?
I watched it. It's like 3 minutes. It's more like a Baby Yoda music video.
Okay.
Because it's just like a Studio Ghibli version of him, and he's just dancing around. It's called Zen: Grogu and Dust Bunnies. And there's just Dust Bunnies like dancing around him.
I like
that. And so I thought there was like going to be some Studio Ghibli movie like later or something.
But I figured I think they're
just teasing this.
I figured it would have been like Vision Season 2 episode, you know?
Maybe. Or like even just the puppet like walking around or something like while Mando's fixing something and he's just wandering off and then doing something in the woods and he messes with some creature. And that's what I thought it was going to be, like some sort of like the I Am Groot series.
You know? Oh, okay. Gotcha.
That's what I thought it was going to be, but it ended up just being this little like animated
little short
music video.
Was there any scenes where people are making food and it looks really good? Because Studio Ghibli's really good at that.
No food, unfortunately.
I want to know what a Star Wars chef looks like. Is he cutting with lightsabers?
No.
Studio Ghibli's the one to do it, you know?
Has there never been like someone making food in Star Wars?
Not that I've seen. There's not a whole lot of eating scenes that I'm familiar with.
Boo.
Daniel, James Gunn posted he tweeted a picture of Mr. Terrific with no context.
He did. Yeah. Was that the Alex Ross?
The Alex Ross one. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good one.
What does that mean?
That means Mr. Terrific's coming probably.
Yeah. It probably means that. In what form? We don't really know.
No clue.
He did post like a year ago that he read, a couple months ago that he read Strange Adventures and he's like, this shit's sick. And he tagged like Tom King and Mitch. So
that's good.
So who knows? Maybe, you know, he's got, you know, CEO powers now. He can make that happen. So who knows?
Nathan, that's hardly news. It's just, we're just telling people about tweets.
Well, yeah, that's true. Okay. Here's actual news.
We need to talk about news, like reports,
yeah, comic books,
announcements,
okay? Actual comic books. Let's back to it. Our roots. Free Comic Book Day announcements. Wasn't really excited about that many other than Dark Horse releasing the Umbrella Academy as a Free Comic Book Day thing. It's a new new Umbrella Academy like content from Gerard Way and Gabriel Ba.
Nice.
And it's going to be the superpowered siblings staving off a universe-shattering cosmic horror. Also, in that same issue is The Witcher, and Geralt sets out to uncover why women are turning into frogs.
Mm.
Sounds like a banger.
It's a bad time.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Also, Image Comics releasing Fish Flies from Jeff Lemire as a Free Comic Book Day preview.
Oh, okay.
It's about when a child runs away from home and befriends a monster. She sets off a chain of strange events and bad omens.
Is so, that not
it's a new
coming
like,
out like before that?
I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe it'll come out and be like, hey, don't forget this is out, you know?
It could be. But yeah, the more Jeff Lemire written and drawn and colored stuff. So we like that.
Nice.
How does he
nice.
Do it? No one knows.
Nathan, finally, after 25 years, Ash Ketchum finally becomes the world's greatest Pokemon trainer.
I saw that. And has that never happened?
No.
None of the movies or nothing?
No. The first episode was, that was his goal, you know? He wanted to be the best and, you know the song?
Like No One Ever Was?
Yeah. And finally, after 25 short years.
That's funny. And he's still 13 years old.
Yeah, yeah. And he's just got a different hat now.
And he's like, you know what? This isn't all it was chalked up to be.
Yeah.
He's going to be one of those kids that like peaks in high school and then he grows up and he's like, oh man, back in the day, I was training Pokemon.
Yeah,
like, dude. No one fucking business.
Dude, top of my class.
And he's working at like Circle K or something.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just, it's hardly comic book news, but I just thought it was really funny that this hasn't happened already.
Yeah.
Like, I thought maybe 10 years in, he'd make it. I didn't even know the show was going on, honestly. Still.
I didn't either. What generation are they at now? 100?
Dude, so many.
Crazy. Daniel, new Cosmic Ghost Rider series from Stephanie Phillips.
Oh.
And Juan Cabal, who did Guardians of the Galaxy, I think with Donnie Cates, but that's pretty fun.
Did Donnie Cates do Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, he did like 8 issues or something. I read the first 4.
Is it just the ones that have Cosmic Ghost Rider in it?
Yes.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. So that's pretty
cool.
So
that's why.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Seeing more Cosmic Ghost Rider.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also, James Tynion. Is that how you say it? Tynion?
Tynion.
The fourth is releasing his Substack comics at Dark Horse February 2023, which includes Blue Book, which is his book they did with Michael Avon Oeming about actual UFO sightings, but then extrapolating on those and turning them into comic books.
Oh, cool.
So that's pretty cool. And then also,
it's good to see Michael Avon Oeming like doing stuff.
I love him. I love him doing stuff.
So good.
He posted like a little preview of like one of the issues, like a couple of the pages. Looks really trippy.
Nice.
So that's cool. And then also The Oddly Pedestrian Life of Christopher Chaos is also coming in June 2023. So I look forward to Blue Book, actually. So I'll actually pick that up.
Yeah.
But it's nice seeing these Substack books come into print so that I can reap the benefits.
Yeah. That's all the news I got.
Did you put your trophy behind you so that people could see it in the pod?
You know what? I'm not even sure if it's in frame. No, my head's like kind of blocking it.
Okay, good. That's how it should be.
Let me just fix that.
No. No one paid attention.
Sorry, Deadpool. Oh, nice. That looks great.
Daniel's a really good cornhole player.
Cornhole runner-up.
Runner-up, yeah. Number two out of a team of 64 teams.
Yeah, that was a good day.
That was crazy.
That was kind of crazy.
Yeah. That's all the news I have, Daniel.
Alrighty, let's get into the book we read. What did we read, Nathan?
Daniel, we read Guardians of the Galaxy by Dan Abnett. Was it Dan Abnett?
Dan Abnett,
Andy Lanning, the penciler's Paul Pelletier. I thought Andy Lanning was the artist.
He does do art, but I also thought that, but it turns out he's just co-writing it with Dan Abnett.
Interesting. Okay, colorist Nathan Fairbairn and Guru.
Inker Rick Magyar.
Magyar and letter Joe Caramagna. This is... Oh,
dude, cover artist Clint Langley, you said that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay, no. Because he's the bomb.
He is the GOAT. I do recognize like this cover, and I've always like seen this cover when it comes to Guardians of the Galaxy, and I'm like, damn, I need to read this eventually.
Yeah, I'm like, this is definitely like one of the more exciting covers that draws you in. If you're like picking, you're gonna choose some Guardians book, and you got to pick one.
Yeah. If you knew like nothing about Guardians and you had to pick a book just based off the cover, like this one would win, surely, right?
Right, yeah. Which is why I read this, like... prior, because it looked so good.
Really? Yeah. I think I tried reading like a deluxe edition of this book or something, or maybe it was Annihilation Wave. I tried reading something Guardians related, and it started with Drax, like a Drax solo series, and it sucked so bad. And then I stopped reading it. Wow. So I never read anything like Guardians
really. If I only saw Drax for the first 10 pages, I'd be like, this can't be right.
It sucked, dude. He was just like walking around being sad, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? So I think it was an Annihilation Omnibus.
Yeah.
So I never read Annihilation, but why did we read this, Daniel?
Because, Nathan, the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special is coming out when this is released.
Yes.
So if you want more, even more Guardians content, you can find it here.
No Kevin Bacon in this book, unfortunately.
Nope. Or is there?
Tune in to find out.
Nathan, what'd you think about this?
I get it, you know?
Yeah.
I get why people... I get why it's like Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning, like that's like the power duo, because this was like insane, but in like a really fun way, I feel like.
Yeah, insane in like a manageable way.
Yeah, like a manageable way.
They get too crazy.
They just like really take advantage of just like how space is just insane and how big it is, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like this big thing, and like any ideas are just like kind of there, and... I really liked it. I also really liked the pacing of like all of the team members, because it's got like all the Guardians members, like the whole cast, like the first movie. But we get also Adam Warlock and Quasar.
Mm-hmm.
And those are two characters I'm not really that familiar with, but they also had like a lot of screen time, I feel like, or page time, whatever.
Yeah, if not the most.
Yeah. And so I thought that this was balanced really well. And I like... how they just got creative with like the comic book medium, because there's like talking heads and stuff. It's like The Office, but in space.
Yeah, really. Like office style, like interviews with like each character.
It's like Star-Lord after he's got like bandages on his head. And he's like, you know what? That could have gotten way worse.
What was cool about this is that they're actually like guarding the galaxy, you know, like in a very literal sense, which I thought was neat.
Yeah.
What really keeps my attention when reading this is that like shit hits the fan like every issue, you know? I'm like,
there's not a dull moment, because if it starts to be a dull moment, it's like boom, here's a thing that just happened.
It doesn't right like here. Peak in one issue, it's just all peak, you know?
Yeah. Like there's like A, B, and C plots, and if it starts to get a little boring, boom, there's a thing that happens.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, here we go again. So it's really cool.
There's like these like insane splash pages throughout this, like, dude,
even this first one that's like the second page in, I'm like, there's so much here, like on the page, like he really, whoever the penciler is, I need to,
Paul Pelletier
really takes advantage of like every like inch of the page.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
They're like, you can have a double page spread. He's like, say less.
And like everybody like is doing something, you know, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like sometimes with double page spreads that have like a lot of noise on it, people, it's not like really clear what everybody's doing all the time. It's kind of just like, here's like a big picture of like one person doing one thing, but everybody, all the characters are like, I don't know, pretty clear. It's like pretty clear what they're doing. And so it really like rewards you to just kind of like stop and like take a look at everything. Cause he's so, so good.
Yeah. This was a treat visually. Yeah.
Rocket looks funky as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He just looks very scrappy, but let's get into it, Daniel. I would say that this is a little bit dense. There's like a lot that happens and sure. a lot of characters talking. So I think that's how they're able to like give everybody some time, is because there's like, there is a lot of dialogue, I feel like, but I certainly liked it. But anyway, it's the first mission for the Guardians of the Galaxy. They're not called that yet. They're just like a team of people that want to help, you mm-hmm. know, guard the galaxy. And it's like the movie cast plus Adam Warlock and Quasar, and they're on what's called a temple ship, and it's run by...
Nathan, who are these people?
Who?
Who's this Quasar you speak of?
I don't know.
What does she do?
Magic?
She has some blasts and can make like a...
She does a big blast.
Like a sword thing.
And makes with shields. With
the blast. She makes shields?
She oh. makes shields? She has to do a shield.
She does do a shield thing.
She does do a shield. But then, how is that different from Adam Warlock? No idea.
They seem to hone in that he does more magic stuff. I think he is like a warlock, not like a witch.
Okay.
Like that's like some dialogue in there.
Okay, that's fair.
So I guess he has space magic, Nathan.
Yeah. Who's the dude that's going to play him in the MCU? What's his name again?
Oh, man.
Eyebrows?
Eyebrows.
Yeah, I can't remember. But.
So I kept thinking about that as I was reading this. It's like
he's really good in Midsommar.
Yeah, I don't know.
They'll
probably beef him up and you won't even recognize him.
Yeah, probably not. But
they'll wax his eyebrows.
So they're on a ship that's also a temple, like a church temple. And it's run by a group called the Universal Church of Truth. And they're trying to stop this ship from hitting a space fissure.
Mm-hmm.
Fissure. And like basically if it hits it, it's going to like collapse space time or something.
Yeah.
Or allow other dimensional beings to come through and stuff.
Lots of risk there.
Yeah, there's a lot that happens. So continuity wise, this is right after something called the Phalanx Conquest. Don't know what that is, but I guess it like created all these like rifts in space that need to be like protected, because if they get touched really, everything blows up. I don't know. But I don't really know what like the context is continuity wise, but I really like the talking heads aspect of the book.
Yeah.
Because they're just like mission logs or whatever. And you just see like random characters like kind of explain why they did what they did like right after the fact. So it really gives it that like office but in space kind of feel.
This is like the best Star-Lord helmet, I think.
I do love this Star-Lord helmet. And I like the outfit. I like the blue on him, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like that works pretty well. But he just looks so cool like flying around and stuff.
And he's also matching with Rocket for some reason. Like, they have, like, the same, like, shirt and, like, gloves.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Cute. They do. I don't think I even noticed that.
Very cute.
Yeah, because they're boys, you know?
Yeah, they're homies.
It cuts to, like, some flashback throughout the book of the team being assembled, which provides, like, a good foundation for, like, everybody's first personality, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
And the temple ship ends up making contact with the rift, and there's, like, other dimensional monsters that come out, which they have to fight, and they're able to, like, stop them. I never really knew who this Church of Truth people are, but apparently they get their power from faith, and then they have faith batteries.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, they try and recruit more people into their faith to become more powerful.
Yep.
They ain't that like society. I don't know if like they created these people, but I was like, this is actually kind of a cool concept.
Yeah, yeah.
And the temple ship design, dude, is fucking bizarre.
It is pretty gnarly.
It's like an actual like crazy halo looking spaceship, and then there's a church temple on top, and it all like works together, because that makes no fucking sense what I just said.
Yeah,
but it looks so cool on the page.
It works here.
It looks really cool.
And I would join that church.
I would too. That's the most metal church.
You're like, this is our church. I'm like, oh sick, can I ride it?
Yeah, and you're just out in space. It's crazy.
For some reason, like some of the Guardians have like yellow speech bubbles and some of them don't. I kept reading it as like Deadpool because he like always has the yellow speech bubbles.
I think it's Adam Warlock does because he's kind of like this like mystic kind of guy or like kind of otherworldly.
But so does Rocket.
And Rocket, I can't explain to you. I don't know.
Speaking of Rocket, he's kind of like a more like realistic looking raccoon. It seems like.
I don't know, because I feel like MCU version, like that's what a raccoon looks like, you know?
Yeah, real raccoon.
This Rocket is very like scrappy looking, I guess.
Sure.
Or I don't know, but yeah, he does like look pretty exaggerated. So he provides like a different feel.
I guess I compare like every Rocket to like the Scotty Young Rocket.
You know? Yeah, that's probably like the first Rocket you've like been exposed to from a comics perspective.
Yeah, so, I'm like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so seeing it like this where it feels like an animal, like kind of on the page is a little different. So the mission's done and they end up going to Nowhere after, which is the head of a Celestial, if you didn't know. And we see Nowhere's chief of security, our boy Cosmo, the space dog.
Yes, sir.
I fucking love Cosmo.
Oh, yeah.
And he's in this book and it's great. And he's got a job too. He's got an important job.
Yeah, he's an important guy.
Yeah. Mantis is there too with Groot. And Mantis is like the counselor, but she can also see the future.
And she's green.
I've never really understood Mantis's powers, like even in MCU. Like she is an empath, I get that. But like in this book, like what is the future thing? Like how does that make sense?
I don't know.
No idea.
I guess you can just see it a little bit.
At first, I figured it was like she can feel people's emotions so she can kind of predict what they're going to do in the future. But then later, she like is saying like how this isn't supposed to be how the future goes or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It seems like she has a sort of a, like Swiss Army knife like power set.
Yeah. So there's also a lot of just designs you kind of have to get used to from like what you're used to in like the movies and whatnot.
Yeah.
Like one being Mantis being green. There's also like Gamora wearing this very sexy outfit.
She's always been like a babe in the comics for some reason. I also am a big fan of like
babe in the movies.
She is a babe in the movies. Yeah. But like, she's always just like wearing like
basically nothing.
I've always been a big fan of like her eye like makeup, like the yellow circles and shit. Yeah. I wish they would do that more in the movies.
They do it like very, very slightly. They make it almost like it's like a design, a circle.
I have seen that, but I want just this, you know, because I feel like this looks really cool.
She's basically dressed as like Red Sonja.
Yeah, I would say that's pretty good. Or like a katana from Mortal Kombat or some shit.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing?
And Drax is like huge. You got to... he's always pretty huge, but I don't know. I always looked at him in this. I'm like, wow.
He looks mean too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Like characteristics and like the art.
And what is cool is like Groot's like a plant in this. Like he's not a big player, unfortunately, but he's like in the little flower pot thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and this came out before the movies. I'm like, oh, maybe the movie stole that. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't realize that
Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning. Abnett and Lanning concept.
Yeah, they're the goats.
Yeah.
Groot doesn't even say I am Groot in this whole book, actually. Yeah. Because he's still like growing and like he has like dialogue, but they're like little dashes, so we're not supposed to like hear what he's saying.
Yeah, maybe he's just too small.
Yeah. So they just get back to Nowhere, they're like, oh, that was crazy. And then boom, another space thing, rift thing happens, which is like a big block of ice, which the team sets off to go investigate. But in the ice is Captain America's shield. And it's like, ooh. Why is Captain America in space?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sick cliffhanger.
There's also like with the Mantis time thing, her seeing the future, she says something in like her little interview. She's like, what they don't know is that in 9 months, they're going to be betrayed. And I was like, oh, wow.
They plan way ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, they plan way ahead. They're like 9 issues from now, fucking Rocket kills Drax or some shit.
Oh, yeah, I guess that is like issues, but no, issues, time passes differently.
This whole book is like 3 days.
Yeah.
And it's like 8 issues or whatever, or 6 issues. So.
Right. There was a thing that Adam Warlock says where he's like, why the rifts in the galaxy are like scary is because there's things outside of the universe
trying to get in.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't like that. No,
that's very scary. And we saw like part of one of those monsters already on the temple ship, and it doesn't really look like anything. It's big goopy guy, but it kind of resembles the one at the beginning of the Volume 2, like Guardians movie that they fight.
Yeah.
And Groot's having a big dance. I wonder if that was the inspiration, because it does just look like a big, just sloppy mess.
Yeah.
This guy. So issue 2, they got on the big icy rock thing, and Warlock discovers it's not from their dimension, and they melt some ice, and they discover that it's Avengers Mansion that's been frozen over. And then there's like another dimensional monster thing that gets thawed out and starts attacking everybody. And while they fight, we see Captain America's shield get thrown, and it's caught by Major Victory, who's of the Guardians of the Galaxy. And then he shows up, and he's got Cap's shield, and he's like, I'm lost. Like, when am I? What time is it?
Yeah.
Like, not like time, but like, what year is it even? And so
he's like, when is it?
Yeah, which is such a sick line. Yeah. I wish I could be in a situation where I could say, when is it? Because that's
when so you cool. pass out at a party and then someone wakes you up in the middle of the party, you could be like, when is it?
No, I'm saying like, put me in a coma.
Yeah.
It'd be worth it just to say that when I break out.
If that's what you really want.
Major Victory looks pretty cool.
He is cool. He's very, I feel like it's kind of a generic design, but he looks important. And he feels like he could be a big player in like something else. I just don't know. They do
really good with like pacing and like building up to big moments in this book, because like right before we see him, we see like the shield like melting or like getting out of it, like the ice that it's encased in. And then we see like the shield getting thrown, but we don't know who throws it. And then he catches it, and then boom, it's like a splash page.
Yeah.
And that's pretty sick. So they're really good with like the pacing in comics.
Nathan, where do you think Drax buys his jeans?
I got to see his jeans. Does he have gloves on?
Here you go.
Like American Eagle?
Yeah, you think so?
They are just very normal jeans. He's got like a belt on and shit too.
It's just Space Eagle or something like that. Or the Nowhere Eagle.
They must have a Nowhere Eagle.
Yeah.
Or Pac Sun, perhaps. He does.
In space, it's also called Pac Sun.
Why would they put just like normal ass pants on him? Like, yeah. Why not make him like purple or, I guess not purple, because then you look like the Hulk, but like orange.
Yeah, they even fold like the red. Same way jeans do.
They do. They're like, those are clearly jeans. Maybe they're Star-Lords.
Yeah.
He hasn't noticed yet.
I don't know. I just thought it was funny.
It is funny. So they end up having to destroy the mass that they're on. And so they teleport out of there with Major Victory. And he can't really seem to remember anything about how or why he came there. So that's like a little mystery that's going on. So they have like these passports or what they call them. And they could just teleport wherever.
That's nice.
Which is pretty huge, right? Like, that's crazy technology.
Get out of most.
Just get problems. Out of a bad situation, yeah. So they detect another rift in space that they have to go fix, which takes them to the Dyson Sphere, which is a star. Yeah, like the vacuum.
Yeah.
Which is a star that's enclosed in a shell. And in the inside of that shell is a city that's in a dome that's habitable. And then the Universal Church of Truth, like the elite people, come in and they're like, we're going to fight you guys.
The Cardinals.
Mm-hmm. What an insane idea. Like,
there's just a sun
like,
in there.
There's a sun inside of this big metal shell. And they're like, let's have a city in here too.
Yeah, that's harness the power of the sun.
Like, whose idea was it to like put a city in there? And they're like, oh, fuck, everybody's going to burn up. So then they put like a little dome shell thing.
Just they see a sun and be like, hey, that's small enough. We can catch it.
Let's build over it.
Yeah.
And then we get all the benefits to ourselves. Yeah.
It's kind of genius, and I feel like that should happen at some point if there is a star small enough. What do you mean?
No.
What do you mean?
How are we going to build a...
Solar energy.
What materials are we going to use? What material in general? Like, the sun is bigger than Earth.
Whatever they use, whatever Doc Ock uses.
The sun is bigger than Earth, Daniel.
No. Not our sun, but a sun.
Okay.
You know, I know we call our star the sun, but there's got to be smaller ones. You know what I mean?
So you're saying just a star that's like pretty small?
Yeah.
Is there a star that's smaller than Earth?
Surely.
I don't know.
They can't just like all be bigger, you know?
I think they're all pretty big.
We can't have like the runt of suns, you know?
I think most suns.
A lot of suns, pretty big.
Pretty big, I would say.
Or just really bright, you know?
Yeah.
I guess we only see their light, you know?
Yeah, that's true. But anyway,
I'm gonna look it up.
I don't know. Okay, great. I don't know who pulled this off, but it's a feat. That's for sure.
They said white dwarfs are about the size of Earth.
Okay. So if we gather all of our resources, we could potentially build a shell over a
But when
a
we white get to dwarf. That point, surely we'll have more resources, you know?
Where are we getting them?
Other planets.
Okay, that's fair.
You think it's too small, Nathan.
I guess so. I wasn't thinking
interplanetary. We have to also find a white dwarf. So once we get to the part where we get to the white dwarf, we'll have plenty of resources.
How are we going to do that? Like, how are we getting it? Are we just building two halves and then we have like two helicopters or whatever, like flying to each other?
Of course not. It's going to be multiple pieces.
Two pieces?
I'm sure, you know those like toys, they have to like have all the pieces together and you have to put them all together like
Yeah, perfectly. It's really annoying.
Yeah. It's like that.
Okay.
It's just a circular puzzle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So these guys figured it out.
You know how they make chocolate domes? That's what we got to do.
How do they make those? I don't know.
You just put chocolate in like a cup and then lift it upside down and it drips out.
How does it make circle?
Because it's in circle.
So then how do they lift it upside down? Oh, you're saying that there's like, that they... Is there anything inside in what you're saying? So you're just talking about a ball of chocolate, not like a spherical shell.
You ever had a chocolate dome?
I don't think so.
Yeah, they're at Kneaders are really good.
A dome is like half circle though, too.
Yeah, two of those.
Okay, circle. Okay, put them together. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I was like, how do they do it? But anyway, issue three, Daniel. So the church is like pretty pissed that their temple ship got blown up. I would be pissed too. That was a pretty cool ship. So they fight the Guardians, and while they fight, there's another extra-dimensional monster that comes in, but it turns out that the sludge that's fighting them is the people that normally live inside of that city. I don't know how they got like that, but they're a big blob, and they're a bunch of skulls, which is insane, right? So there's a lot going on here.
The Cardinals kind of look like that character in Lord of the Rings, like Sauron or something
Sauron.
Like that. Sauron.
Yeah, they do.
But they're gold.
Are these supposed to be like the gold people in Guardians 2?
No.
Okay, I wasn't
sure. Are they a church?
I don't know. They seem culty like that. So.
No. Okay.
I kind of like that the church is fighting with like random things that they say that they believe. Like they believe that their bullets won't hurt them. And so like the bullets just like go away. They can kind of like will anything to happen if they have enough church or enough faith.
Yeah, it's kind of like... rumor from like the Umbrella Academy, like
right?
She just says some shit. I'm like, that's kind of OP, but whatever.
Yeah, that's pretty much what they're doing. Yeah, and so meanwhile, Mantis is talking to Major Victory, and then he gets attacked by Starhawk suddenly, and we don't really know why, but they fight it out. And then Major Victory,
Sylvester Stallone's character,
is he Starhawk?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think I realized that.
Yeah, okay. I know. I remember from the big things that go over his shoulder.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And yeah, Major Victory like doesn't know why he knows him, but he knows that he knows him. And while they're fighting, they destroy the teleport technology that the Guardians use to like passport out of there.
Yeah. So not so convenient all of a sudden.
Yeah. But this is one of the examples that like there's just always fighting like kind of going on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still like interesting for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I prefer that rather than people standing around.
Yeah.
And talking to each other.
I think that there's definitely comics that do that well, but I like the action in this book so much.
And then also like the dialogue's like subtle while they're fighting to where it still has that flow and it feels like it's moving as fast as a fight would.
Yeah, it does. On the Dyson Sphere, Star-Lord and Adam Warlock get pretty hurt, and then the church just teleports away after they get what they came for. And so to kill that monster, they decide to lift the sun shield that's protecting them from the star. And they disintegrate the big sludge monster, but they can't teleport away because Starhawk destroyed that shit. So Quasar has to put a shield over all of them, and then Gamora runs through the sun heat to shut the shield again. Which is
because I guess she has a healing factor.
She has a healing factor?
That's new.
That's got to be new. I mean, that's like not new, but like I didn't know
new
that.
New to us.
Yeah, new to us. Also, who's building the ability for the sun dome to just open up? There would never be like a practical use for that, right?
It's a little cold.
Maybe, yeah. Like, when you're building this, they're like, we should create, like, a thing to, like, open it up a little bit, you know? Open the windows up.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. I just think it's really funny.
I don't know if you caught this, but, like, before Starhawk attacks, Mantis is, like, talking to Groot, and she, like, calls him, like, Your Majesty. I'm like, what does that mean?
Oh, she calls Groot that?
Yeah.
Because he's royalty.
Like, he's just like a king somewhere?
He might be.
Like a prince?
I don't know. We read the Groot series and we didn't hear any of that. So.
Yeah, I know.
He was just a normal guy.
I guess so. An average Joe.
We also find out that the church collected a sample of Adam Warlock's blood to confirm that it's Adam Warlock. And then they're like, who do we have? Because they have like a Warlock egg thing.
Does that ever come to fruition in this?
No. Okay. We don't really know. But they're like, yep, that's Adam Warlock. And then that's pretty much the end of like this kind of like first arc. Because they eventually go back to Nowhere.
Yeah.
So issue 4, everyone's back on Nowhere. They're trying to figure out who Starhawk is and why he attacked Major Victory. Then there's like an explosion that happens randomly that reveals that there are Skrulls on board, which prompts a lockdown of Nowhere. And then the Guardians start to question sort of each other's identity. And I'm not going to lie, I love a good Skrull mystery.
Definitely.
I'm a big fan of Skrulls.
I take that back. I am not a big fan of Skrulls.
I know you're not, and that confused me. Because I just like the paranoia that it starts, and it's like, you know, how long have they been there? And it's like...
I guess, you know. I like the paranoia part, but not like what causes it. And just like, oh, anybody could be a Skrull.
It can be done wrong, that's for sure, but... I still like them. Like, if it is used to, like, retcon something, I'm like, that's a little...
Yeah.
Unless they do it right. I mean, I feel like there's still, like, a right way to do
that. I know I haven't read, like, the best Skrull story other than the group book that we read.
There's a sick Marvel book called We Are Skrulls, and it's just about a Skrull family, like, living on Earth.
Isn't it, like, Meet the Skrulls or something like that?
Sorry, Meet the Skrulls, not We Are Skrulls. Whatever.
I do like that concept, and that seems like it could be fun.
That book is really good, actually.
And did you pick up that Cosmo just has like predators like working for him?
Like predators?
In this panel?
Oh shit. No, I don't think I realized that. Holy shit.
I was like, oh, that's fucking dope.
Yeah, those are actual predators.
Cosmo just got way cooler.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like the head of security, and that's like his security guards.
You know? Just predators. That's crazy.
No better way to be protected.
Yeah. The scientific community on Nowhere wants the Guardians to just like stop doing shit because they've only brought like trouble since they got there. Like a bunch of shit's happened. Like Starhawk shows up, starts beating him up and, you know, destroying all the infrastructure there. So Star-Lord agrees to like kind of stay back a little bit, but Warlock is kind of pissed because he's not able to stop the other rifts in space, which also kind of makes sense. And then also Major Victory gets in a fight downstairs, which doesn't help with any of the tension. Yeah. So there's that. This dude fights more than anybody else in this book. And we don't even know who he is.
Yeah, I know. I do appreciate like the alien designs in this though.
Yeah,
because I feel like that. In Nowhere or like the jail that they go to, it's just like
people mostly that look people. Weird.
Yeah, with like some weird haircuts or something.
But there's like this crazy looking like huge toad dude, and I really like him.
Oh yeah, he's definitely weird.
like what is that? He seems like it'd be really hard to get through doors.
Yeah, I don't love when there's always like aliens that are just like humanoid, you know.
Yeah,
there's gonna be some like weird shaped ones, you know.
That's what I've always liked about some like cosmic books, is that they make like weird designs and I'm like, how does that work?
And he's got clothes, you know. He's a person.
I like Green Lantern for that reason too, because there's just like weird ones that look like starfish or something, and then there's just like a ring that somehow fits on there, and I think that's really funny.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of them are humanoid because they are like rings and stuff, but I like the ones that aren't,
right?
So later, Drax overhears Star-Lord talking to Mantis about how he like used Mantis's telepathy to encourage everyone to form the group. Which is a little fucked up, a little invasive, yeah, if you ask me. And then Drax kind of just like wanders off when he's supposed to be on lockdown, and then he gets a big gun. So what's he doing, Daniel? Uh-oh. Oh no, can't be anything good.
Up to no good. Start making trouble in the neighborhood.
So Mantis can like get into people's brains and then like convince them to do stuff.
Yeah, like slight, because she can like affect emotions, right? So like,
yeah. So I think that's kind of what they're doing with that, is that they are affecting their emotions to prompt them to want to be a part of this group, yeah, rather, but not necessarily like brainwashing, but like it is.
It's just to move things faster because he needed a team like quick.
Yeah. And so that's why he had him do that. Like, he was pretty sure everybody was going to join anyway, but still not a good thing, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, issue 5, the Nowhere people send their best men after Drax, and he just like takes them down.
Mm-hmm.
Some pretty good designs here for they're called like the Luminous or something. The Luminals.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a fun fight to see. They got some fun designs.
So like Cosmo and like Peter Quill are like fighting with the, I don't know, the government of nowhere. I don't know what they are.
They're like the scientific community of nowhere or something,
I guess. But Cosmo's like yelling. He's like, Cosmo has enough in his bowl.
I know. That's my favorite line. That's just the best line. He's like, do you know how much I have in my bowl right now? Rather than on my plate. I think that's genius, right?
And then he's like, you heard Cosmo. Stay. I'm like,
I love Cosmo.
The dog puns in this are incredible.
They're so good. They're not even like cheesy because they are so ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
That a space dog that was the dog that the Russians shot out and now has telepathy powers.
Yeah.
Is the head of security. Like, there's so much going on there that any dog joke, I think, is really funny.
Absolutely.
Warlock goes out on his own.
Cause he can talk.
Yeah.
But he still chooses to eat out of a bowl, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I would have
made it easier. Still, like, straight
that's
down
not like he just got thumbs out of nowhere, you know?
He doesn't, like, sit at a table and eat off a plate or whatever. He's just like, I'm still a dog, you know?
Yeah. He also does have, like, an interesting, like, dialogue because he doesn't, like, speak full sentences. Or, like, he speaks full sentences, but he doesn't enunciate, like, properly.
Because he still has the tongue of a dog, you know?
But he's, like, telepathy, like, communicating. So he's putting, like, his own lisp or something on there. Like, I don't know how that works.
I was thinking, is this a Russian accent or something? I didn't really think about it that hard.
Yeah, I didn't either, but it's just something that I noticed. Makes it kind of fun to read, almost.
Right.
So, but yeah, Warlock goes out on his own because he wants to do, like, space stuff. Quasar sneaks out to go find Drax to bring him back, and she finds him placing synaptic disruptors everywhere. Warlock finds Cosmo hiding scrolls in, like, a secret spot.
Whoa. Before that, Warlock was, like, in the...
the cortex.
He was in the brain of the head of nowhere,
mm-hmm.
and he's, like, communicating with it to figure out where things are, trying to, like, I don't know,
use the Celestial's head to figure out where there's other space rifts or something.
So cool.
Which is crazy. And he's just, like, sitting there and he's talking about it like it's no big thing.
Yeah.
But, like, that's insane that worked, right?
Yeah. But anyway, he finds Cosmo hiding scrolls.
Yeah.
Lady scrolls.
Yeah. Lady scrolls, boy scrolls. And he's like, what the fuck are you doing? These are the bad guys. And then there's a different version of Starhawk that comes in that's now a lady.
Lady Starhawk.
And shows up to kill Major Victory again. But then Drax hit the detonate button. And that's how that issue ends. So a lot going on here. I love to see Cosmo get all charged up.
Yeah, like, I guess he's got these, like, I don't know, psychic blasts that he can do.
I don't know. But I like seeing him get super angry and, like, his eyes, like, glow and shit. And there's an aura around him. And I'm like, this is so cool.
And he growls.
Yeah. He's just squaring up with Adam Warlock, dude.
Yeah, man. The balls.
Yeah. And so Drax's point to setting up, like, these disruptors everywhere is that he wants to kill everybody. Because when a Skrull dies, then they become Skrull again. So he's like, I'll just kill everybody.
Yeah, I'm like, that's insane.
That is.
But it sounds like a Drax way of thinking.
Yeah, sounds like a Drax plan. So, yeah.
Oh, just everyone's just got to die.
Yeah,
I'll find him.
So he detonates the button, and that's the end of that issue, which is a great cliffhanger.
The first issue of this, or at the beginning of this issue, it says they, like, name the issue. It's called Death. And mm-hmm. then it's like a secret invasion story. And I was like, oh,
we're already in the tie-ins.
Are we about to learn, or I don't know. Is it a tie-in?
It's a tie in to Secret Invasion, yeah.
Oh.
Kind of.
It felt like this was still pretty...
It felt, like, pretty organic, you know?
Yeah.
Even though it just, like, kind of randomly happens in issue 4, like, there's an explosion. It's like, oh, here's Skrulls. But, like, it still feels like its own book.
It didn't just, like, cut off at, like, issue 4 and then we just jump somewhere else.
Yeah, because that's, like, definitely an issue with events is just tie-ins getting shoehorned in so that people would buy
not tie-ins only the... Tie-ins are an issue.
Yes, they are an issue, but they're also a problem. And so, but, like, they do that so that people buy not only the event book, but also the tie-in issues.
Never fallen for it.
And I have before. I was all into Civil War II for some reason.
Oh, yeah. We're like, this is it.
But then it, like, disrupted, like, good books like Daredevil at the time, written by Charles Soule or, like, Miles.
I think spinoffs should just be, like, the one-shots that are spinoffs, not, like,
I agree.
Disrupting the ongoing series.
Yeah, you know? I agree. So this one is the Secret Invasion tie-in, but it does still feel like it has its own identity, and it's just like, oh shit, there's Skrulls.
So was 2008 like the time when Secret Invasion was happening?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was like the 90s or something.
No, it was like a Bendis book. It was like after Bendis came to Marvel, so yeah. Mm. It's like early 2000s. I can't wait to read that book, by the way, when Secret Invasion comes out.
Is that next year?
Next year?
Because we got a early trailer, next year, so.
I think, yeah.
Nice, nice, nice.
So issue 6, everyone's dead, like actually, from the synaptic disruptors, but then they like snap out of it. I don't know what synapses do. I think it just like stops all activity in the brain, but then they just like start up again. So everybody was effectively dead, but then they come back, and Drax is able to detect who was a Skrull with his scanner. So big brain move on his part.
His Skrull scanner.
Yeah, which he just has for some reason.
Yeah, you have one?
He's like, oh, I built this real quick. Now I can see everybody.
Standard issue.
But I also like that this stopped all the like situations that were going on in like the other plots, like the Cosmo Warlock thing, or like the, you know, with everybody else. I think it's kind of cool that it affected everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So Drax goes to the Skrulls that Cosmo's protecting, and Warlock's like, no, we're, you know, I understand now, kind of, because Cosmo got the chance to explain.
Yeah, he like airdropped his like ideals.
That is pretty much what it was. He's like, here's what I'm thinking. And it's just like, oh, okay, I get it now.
Gotcha, got it.
So he has to make Drax understand that those are Skrulls that kind of hate the universal war that they're trying to start, and they just want to take refuge somewhere else.
They're pacifist rebel Skrulls, Nathan.
Yes. And so that's kind of like how the MCU Skrulls were kind of introduced to us. Like,
yeah,
we were kind of introduced to the pacifists first, but we knew that they were bad.
That there's some bad ones, yeah.
Yeah.
Which I thought was like the best part of that movie.
Me too.
Because it seemed like, oh, clearly bad guys.
Yeah. Green guys with weird chin, bad guys.
Bad.
But then it's like, oh, maybe I am a little racist or whatever.
Yeah.
Speciesist. Speciesist.
Yeah.
And at one point, Drax kicks Cosmo. Did you see that?
Rude.
Which is just like insane.
I don't like that.
Drop kicks him like Keanu Reeves in Point Break. You ever seen that clip?
He drop kicks a dog?
He drop kicks a dog like off a mountain or something. It's really bad.
I just know like, what was it? Anchorman, where like Jack Black is in it,
mm-hmm.
and he drop kicks like Will Ferrell's dog off like a bridge.
Yeah. But yeah, that feels bad that he just like kicks a dog.
And so like when this fight needs to end or whatever, so Cosmo just like does this telekinetic blast to everybody that just knocks them all out.
Just do that.
Yeah.
There's a fight earlier on between Major Victor and Starhawk, and he's like, stop.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
And this also just happened, but Drax did it, you know?
Yeah, they get unconscious like twice in like
10 minutes. They're okay if Cosmo does it.
Yeah. They're like, oh, that was chill. At least they didn't die.
True.
You know? But yeah, they're getting like knocked unconscious like twice within 10 minutes.
It can't be good for your brain.
Can't be good. So then the rest of the Guardians and some people from nowhere try and, you know, they try and fight the Skrulls, and then now part of the Guardians end up defending the Skrulls, and then Cosmo puts everyone to sleep. Yeah. And then the Guardians find out from Drax that Star-Lord pretty much used Mantis to brainwash them into forming the Guardians, and so everybody kind of disbands.
They're all pretty salty.
Yeah, which I would be too. And then Mantis is like, oh no, this is the wrong future, and that's the end of the trade.
Yep.
I still have no idea who Starhawk or Major Victory is, but that's for the next trade, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Major Victory looks like something that like Alex Ross would do like a really great cover of.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, it would just look like
Starman so
or something.
Yeah.
And then
I think he's like an old Guardians member, but like not old, but I think he's like from the future, but he was first appearance was like in old Guardians comics or something like that.
I would love to read like first appearance Guardians, because like
it's probably so weird.
The first appearance like team is like bizarre. Completely different.
There's like
you Yondu remember the end there? Of like Guardians 2, like it was in the after credit scene.
That was like the Guardians.
Yeah, see that looks sick, because I'm like, what the fuck?
I know, it's just like more like weird like ragtag team characters, cosmic characters, and you're like, shit. I just love learning about them and like with the weird stuff. So
yeah.
So Daniel, let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Back matters.
Daniel, we got the things that we like as a bare minimum in Back Matter, but we just get one page of each. So we get pencils,
mm-hmm.
which is pencils of like some of the insane splash or that one, the first splash page, double page.
Yeah.
And it looks really good. Like
killer.
The inker has a pretty easy job. He's like, I'll just go over this, you know?
Yeah. He doesn't have to.
Because they're really.
The work's done for him.
Yeah. They're really defined pencils. And so they look pretty cool.
This is just on a piece of paper. And this guy just scribbled all this on there.
Isn't that bizarre? I can't even fathom, like, how.
Like, where does he start?
Does he just do Star-Lord first? And he's like, okay, I'll just go around this. That? Yeah, maybe. Probably.
Because, like, people are, like, there's like around people and behind and in front.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing.
It's crazy. Then we get all the covers all on, like, pretty much one page.
And a bunch of, like, unused covers. So there's the ones that we got and then ones that, like, they're about to get.
There's some pretty metal-looking Groot covers here.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of crazy that they, like, actually inked and colored, like, all of these different covers.
Yeah.
Do you think they just have... Because normally it's, like, the concept and just pencils, like, a light scribble.
Yeah, I think that's a new thing because they don't want to keep paying for, like, fully done art. And so they will come up with, like, concepts.
Yeah, there's, like, 12 covers that they just didn't use.
Yeah, which...
There's, like, oh, back matter.
There's, like, a cover conception of, like, that first issue cover, which we were, like, raving about.
Yeah.
And, like, this one still looks like a banger, but then they had the foresight to be like, let's have, you know, Star-Lord, like, flying almost. And so I think that's really cool. And then... you know, some Starhawk covers, some of the Scroll covers, some really cool ones in there.
Yeah, the concept stuff.
And then there's, yeah, so some character concept artwork of Starhawk. And that's it.
Starhawk's pretty cool looking.
He is pretty cool looking. I wish I knew more about him.
Let's read a Starhawk book.
I think there's one. No, there's Darkhawk, but not Starhawk, I don't think.
No, not my Starhawk.
Daniel, what would you rate this book?
Nathan, I give it a... It's not Thanksgiving anymore. I give it a really, really loaded love it, you know, like to where like it barely fits in the cup because like the person who makes it is like really cool, gives you like a little extra ice cream.
Okay.
You know, probably like a cookies and cream, I would say, with like some Reese's and like some drizzle, some brownie in there. Mm-hmm. That's a real important cookie dough. It's loaded. Lots of good stuff in there.
Yeah, I would agree. I'd give it a love it, but it's love it with... just a bunch of toppings.
Yeah.
Because the toppings will represent the crazy cast of characters in this book.
Yeah.
And like the book itself is like a vanilla, you know, it's like a comic book, like some shit happening in space, but it's like it's the combination of the toppings that like really make it special in a banger.
Sure.
So that's how I view this book.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So pretty good.
Yeah.
I like it. So let's get Daniel into the poll list, colon.
Shove it in your box.
The pull is, the pull is. What did you shove in your box?
Another light week for me.
Really? Okay.
I don't know. What are you supposed to pick up?
You haven't gone yet, have you? No.
You dirty rat.
I'm a Saturday boy now, Nathan.
Yeah, you are. Not a Wednesday warrior.
Saturdays are for the comics.
Yep.
Saturdays are for the books. So I'm supposed to get... World's Finest, number 9.
Yep.
I Hate Fairyland, number 1.
I got that as well.
Shirtless Bear Fighter, number 4.
Who?
Shirtless Bear Fighter, number 4.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Come on. Wait, what were you about to say?
I picked up a cover of I Hate Fairyland that's like a explicit version.
Was it wrapped up?
It wasn't wrapped up, but it said Fuck Fairyland. So that's the first one I saw, too. So I thought that the follow-up series was called Fuck Fairyland.
That'd be cool.
And it's got Greta... That's her name, right? Greta?
Yeah.
And she's like flipping everybody off. Hmm. But in like the normal cover of I Hate Fairyland, it's the same one, but she's like doing something else with her hands.
Huh. Okay. And did you... So I'll see what my stack looks like, but I think Stargirl came out today.
I have no idea.
The Geoff Johns one?
Oh. I don't know. If I saw it, I was like, I don't know.
There's... 10,000 Black Feathers, number 3.
Missed that too. They must have not gotten that in. I definitely want to pick that up.
And then I believe that the new Jason book, Upside Dawn, came out today as well.
Whoa, that's a big one.
Yeah, yeah.
New Jason just dropped?
New Jason just dropped. Babe, wake up. New Jason just dropped.
That's crazy. I would love to pick that up.
So, looks like you're going back, Nathan.
I am going back. I picked up World's Finest. I got the cover where it's like the capes are going over their faces, and I think it's really funny.
Okay.
And I picked up I Hate Fairyland. I flipped through the pages. I thought it was Scotty Young art because it looks so similar, but it's somebody else.
Oh, no but kidding.
That really speaks to how authentic like it feels. So I'm really excited to read it because it's still like really extravagant and like, I don't know, hyperbolic fairy stuff. Like,
yeah.
So I'm really excited about that.
Cool.
I don't know if I'll really understand it because I haven't read all of Fairyland.
Just finish it.
You know what? Good point. Let's do that. I also picked up Chroma number one, written and drawn by Lorenzo De Felici, who did Oblivion Song. Who's the one that did the art on Oblivion Song?
Yes, okay.
And he's writing and drawing like his own book now. I have no idea what it's about or called, but the cover looks sick, and I saw his name, so I picked it up.
Nice.
So I'm excited for that. That's it was a like a thick book, too. Had like a spine, but it wasn't like a full trade, you know?
Like a prestige format?
Kind of, yeah. Okay. I would say so. So I'm excited.
Nice, nice, nice.
That's what I picked up.
Did you read anything this week other than our book?
I did. I read Punisher number 7 or 8. I can't remember, but it was the last one that came out by Jason Aaron, Paul Zaceta, and Jesus Saiz or something like that. And that book is still like a banger.
Really?
I'm surprised. It seemed like one of those books that would have definitely been a Nacho series.
Yeah.
But it's still going.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
And they introduced like Daredevil into this issue, which is really interesting because obviously he's dealt with the hand a lot. And so he's trying to like talk it out of Punisher.
Right.
But what's interesting is that I'm now more interested in some of the flashback stuff because it takes a really interesting perspective of Frank Castle, like right when he gets back from the war, and like his wife feels like there's just like a stranger living in the house because of how like war kind of changed him, but not changed him in a way where it's like it fucked him up. It's just like he likes war better than living at home.
Right.
And like the kids like barely know him. He eventually starts to like sleep in a tent outside and not like with his wife and stuff. So there's like really interesting character work that's being done with like Frank after he comes back from war. So I'm really liking it so far.
Cool.
And that was like the only thing I read this week, really.
I read Vanish number one.
Okay.
By Donny Cates and Ryan Stegman.
Banger.
JP Mayer. So you read that?
I have it. I haven't read it. I picked up one and two, I think.
Okay, yeah. So I was like, I'll buy one. They just like put it in my box. I'm like, all right, I'll give it a shot. And so,
how does it feel?
So it feels good. It's like a good feeling book. As I was reading this, I'm like, I like this. Okay. Like, this is like well done. I don't think it was like perfectly executed in what the concept is and like how I was thinking it was going to be executed and how they did execute it.
So is it does it lean more on like Donny Cates' kind of insanity ideas, or is it more like Ryan Stegman is a fucking killer ass cool artist?
I don't think the Ryan Stegman killer artist part is there yet. I think this was like a ton of like world building and like it was a little dense.
Sure.
But I do like the concept like enough because based on like the cover, I'm like, this just looks like a generic 90s comic almost. Yeah,
it does look pretty edgy.
Yeah, and so I was like, I thought it'd be like boring, but like once I like saw the concept and everything like around it, I was like, okay, yeah, I like this and it's cool.
Cool.
So I think I'll keep going with that. And you know, Ryan Stegman still does great stuff. It looks a lot like Venom, which is cool. Like the backgrounds and like the characters and stuff like that. The main character's got like long hair, so it's basically just like early Brock anyway.
Oh yeah, you know? Nice. So, but like that stuff hair is so fun to look at though with his art specifically because it's like they look like different than like traditional art, but they still look really cool. And so it's fun to analyze like what is it about this, like in his proportions and stuff. Has he purposefully like tweaked to like fit his style? It's really fun to like analyze his work.
I even thought that Ryan Stegman's like his faces didn't look as Ryan Stegman-y
in this book.
Yeah, because just compared to what I know him from like Venom and stuff, because I feel like Ryan Stegman at like 100% is just like Null in like how he looks.
You know?
But that's like kind of toned back and it looks like a little bit more realistic, I would say.
Null like, is very as far like
as proportions and stuff.
Yeah, Noel's very cryptic looking.
Right. And I feel like that he loves drawing that, you know, because it looks so good. But no, this looks like almost a grounded version of his artwork, but like you still know it's him.
Cool.
But yeah, it's good. I like it. I think and it didn't drag or anything, but still felt like you got like a lot.
Sweet.
Which is sick.
Yeah, that's like towards the top of like my need to read, but I'm slowly falling behind on that again.
I was like, I have time for like one comic.
Yeah. So
did you watch anything new?
No. I don't think.
Okay.
Other than Black Panther, but
we'll get to that.
I played Halo released its co-op campaign.
Halo?
Yeah.
Halo what?
Infinite. The one that's been out for like a little bit. They did co-op. They released co-op later, and I started playing that, and it was so fun.
Who you playing with?
Just the boys.
Oh, okay.
It's a 4-player co-op.
Oh, sick.
And it's the first time Halo's done like open world kind of, and so I wasn't sure how that was going to like feel with co-op.
You have to decide on what mission to do.
Yeah, kind of. And so like I was a little worried about it, but I think what really just makes that game super fun for me is the grappling hook. And what's really funny is that you can grapple someone as they're grappling, and you can kind of chain your momentum so that the person at the end of the grapple goes fucking fast. And if you time it right, you can get all four of you on a fucking chain grapple, and someone just gets fucking launched. And
you've got no missions done. You've just been working on that the entire time.
It's really fun because I'll be like running behind someone and I'll wait for them to grapple so that I can grapple them like before the grapple hits. And I just get launched like right in front of them. So a lot of times we're just racing to like hit whatever button we're supposed to hit for the cutscene. And it's like so fucking fun, dude.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's a really good game. I like how
you're just able to take what you can do and do the opposite of what the creators wanted you to.
As soon as I found out you could grapple someone that's grappling, because you can like grapple on the enemies and like grab, like, I don't know.
You can scorpion them?
Pretty much. Yeah. Well, no, you go to them, but then you could like hit them and it's really satisfying.
So you can Spider-Man them?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Okay.
So like you grapple onto them and like fly towards them, you can hit them. So as soon as I found out you can grapple someone that's grappling, I was like, we got to just do this to the max potential, right? Yeah. Just so I know. And it's really cool.
That's funny.
Yeah, so that's fun. And then I played like this game called Killing Floor 2.
Okay.
It's basically like Left 4 Dead, but it's more arcadey, I would say.
Okay.
It's like Left 4 Dead and like Nazi zombies came together because you can like go buy like different guns like after each round and stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's these like insane like special zombies at the end. But it's like you could tell it's like a game with like a really committed like dev team, and they keep adding stuff, and there's like all sorts of maps you can play. There's all sorts of combinations and classes that you can have to like complete the mission like easier. Like if you don't have the right combination of classes, it like doesn't benefit you very much.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool.
There's the like gun, some strategy to it.
And yeah. The guns are insane. People can make their own cosmetics and like upload them to the game. So like one of us is running around with just a turkey head, like a Thanksgiving ass, like turkey head.
Nice.
So that makes it pretty fun. But they have like crazy amount of maps. Like there's like a Christmas themed map and like a space themed map and stuff like that. So it's like
so really each arcade mission kind of for each map in a way.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then like the last boss of each one is like tailored to that map. So nice.
So like a zombie Santa or something.
Yes. Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
Cool.
And so that game's pretty fun. But yeah, we're just kind of messing around with that game for right now.
Sounds fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought like a new pack of like bags and boards, and I'm like, I'm just going to put them together right now. Like I work in a comic shop.
Okay.
And so it took me like a half an hour, but I was watching,
that's not bad.
I was watching Tales of the Jedi while I was doing it.
Okay.
And so I watched like the first two episodes, and it is like an anthology, and it's awesome. Like
cool.
15 minute episodes. And like the first one was like Ahsoka as like a baby something.
So these are in continuity?
Yeah, I assume.
Okay, so that's how it's different from like Visions, you know?
Yeah.
Is it all in like the Clone Wars animation style?
It is, yeah.
Okay, and I like that then.
Yeah, it's very swift episodes, and the second one I liked a lot. I'm not going to like really talk about it, but it has like, you know, Jedi and they're going to do their job or whatever.
Sweet, love that.
It's really cool. So I was happy I got to watch that. And there's only like 6 or 8 episodes, so you can kind of blow through them really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the Grogu thing. Oh, and then we watched Don't Worry, Darling.
The Harry Styles one?
Harry Styles movie directed by
Olivia Wilde. Or rather, the Florence Pugh one?
The Florence Pugh one, correct.
Because she's such a good actor.
Of course. And then, like, Nick Kroll is in this?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay.
And, like, Chris Pine.
Just hearing him talk, I'm like...
You're just a goof.
Yeah, Chris Pine. I forgot Chris Pine was in this until, like, he popped up. I'm like, oh, yeah. But, there's a bunch of like media shit around this movie. So I'm like, I don't really want to watch this. And so like, Sarah really wanted to though. And I'm like, all right, you put it on and then I'll just like be on my phone or whatever. And then it ended up being like really drawn into it. Good. It's like a good movie. I heard that like the ending sucked, and the ending did not suck.
No,
the ending was not what I expected, but I don't think it's bad by any means.
That's good.
But yeah, it's really cool. You should watch it. It's not like a scary movie or anything. It's just kind of like, what the fuck's happening movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The only, I do remember like all the media stuff around it, and it was really weird.
Yeah.
Cause I don't know why people cared so much about it. I think it's just Harry Styles.
Yeah.
But like, my favorite media thing is when he was like talking about the movie, and he's like, my favorite thing about this movie is that it feels like a movie. You know? Yeah. And then Chris Pine's like, what the fuck is this guy saying?
Yeah. The set design was like really cool. I'm like, this is like really 50s. Like, it looks like really good.
Okay. You know, so it's set in 50s?
Yeah. 50s or 60s or something.
Okay.
And it feels like, I'm like, is this a cult or something? Like, I don't know what was happening until like, you know, it unravels, but. Yeah, really good.
Well, that's one of the two movies Warner Brothers came out with this year, so.
Was the other one Black Adam?
Yeah.
Of the two, this one's better, I would say.
Yeah, that's not hard, I guess.
As like a nerd, I guess I would pick like Black Adam for, you know, mindless action. But as far as like concept story. And thinking and story and plot, like.
And acting and
acting everything. And set design and costumes.
Yeah, Black Adam only has action on it.
Soundtrack, yeah. Main character.
Yeah. Emotional stakes.
Yeah, that would be the better one. It's on HBO Max now, so that's
oh, really?
Yeah, okay. That's why we watch it.
Nice.
And yeah, so I'm glad that I had low expectations of it because I did enjoy it much more because of that.
Okay, I'll keep my expectations low.
Yeah, because I could see someone else not liking this and I'd be like, yeah, it's a pretty valid point.
Totally, yeah.
But I just kind of was rolling with it, so I'm like, okay, yeah, cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah, pretty good.
Have you ever watched a movie that you didn't like at first and then you watched it again and you're like, this is pretty good?
I'd have to think about it. But
I would too. I remember hearing like that question on like a podcast or something I was listening to and I was like, I don't know if that's ever happened to me.
I would need to see a list.
There's definitely movies that I've
ever seen.
Would like enjoy and I try and show somebody and then it's like not that good, you know?
Yeah, because there's also like the enjoyment of watching it the first time and like,
yeah.
You know how like there's all the things on the internet like what movie could you go and see for the first time again,
yeah,
you know,
but like I don't know about any movies that I didn't like and then would watch like much later and be like, this is pretty sick.
You know, I think I didn't really like Batman versus Superman that much the first time.
I definitely didn't,
because I was like, what the fuck. And then I don't know if like watching the extended version the second time and like liking it more counts.
I would say so, yeah.
So I did like that. I want to get away from like the superhero genre.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just looking around and I see dirty shit. So
okay.
Because I don't really rewatch a lot of stuff.
I don't even watch like movies that much in general, so I don't have a whole lot
to pick. You know what? From. Like, all right, here's an example. So like obviously like Elf is like a good movie. You know, we've watched it since like we were kids. But watching it as like an adult, it's way better.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because there's so much shit in there you just don't pick up on.
I was okay, not, so sure, most, where most, was not yeah. sure where you're going to go with this. And I was like,
I didn't dislike carefully. It as a kid. But like when you rewatch it as a kid, like
shit's just so much funnier.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially like Papa Elf like saying shit.
Oh, yeah.
It's so funny.
And the shit that his dad like says under his breath is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, that movie does bang every year.
Anyway, but we watched Black Panther, Nathan, didn't
yes,
we?
Yes, Wakanda Forever.
Yes, sir. And
so let's talk about it.
First scene.
So sad.
Very sad.
Yeah. So there's obviously, well, overall thoughts, I guess.
Good movie.
I liked it just as much as the first one, I think, but for different reasons.
I think I liked this one. So yeah, the way you said it is good. I think I just kind of favor the first one more.
Yeah.
That's fair. I like just like the villain a little bit more in the first one, but. And this one did feel like a little long. I think there's maybe about like 15 minutes I probably could have like cut.
Okay. Because I also do think it's long. I just don't know what I would cut out.
It also didn't feel that long. Like when I heard it was 240, I'm like, ooh. But no, it like seemed to flow all right.
Yeah, I agree. And but I would say that I liked this third act way better than the third act of Black Panther. Because the first Black Panther, it feels like it kind of falls apart. When there's just like a bunch of people fighting and there's like rhinos for some reason. And then there's like some of that stuff, you know?
No, that was cool.
I was like, what's going on now at this point? But yeah, I do like this movie. Like the level of enjoyment I had for it was about as much as like Black Panther 1, just for like completely different reasons than Black Panther 1. So,
okay.
But yeah, first scene, obviously they have to account for Chadwick Boseman's death. And so they just get right in front of it, which is the right move. They don't ever show him the movie, which is the right move.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little scared at some point. So I was like, are they going to do this?
Yeah. I was like, let's see how they handle this. And they handled it perfectly fine.
Yeah. And
I was weeping like a little baby. You were sitting right next to me. I was hiding it because I'm a man.
I liked that they had like a little moment of silence with like the Marvel Studios thing.
Oh, yeah. It
was dead silent in the theater.
Oh, man. I was trying to eat popcorn and you could not.
I was like, can I like cough right now? I'm trying to like, you know, clear something from my throat.
Yeah. That was just like the best thing you can do. Because I remember
it was really nice.
They even did that for
Stan Lee, right?
They did for like Stan Lee, I think, but they also were just doing that on Disney Plus, like after he died, like the, if you were watching
Marvel movies, it was all the,
so I'm glad that they did that again.
Yeah. And that was cool.
It was done really well. I noticed something today because I saw it on TikTok, but there were like no Avengers at his funeral.
Yeah.
Which maybe it was a budget thing or whatever, or maybe they just wanted to keep it like hidden in like Wakanda or whatever. Make it seem like they,
I'm sure there's like a pretty good reason. Like they don't really want people going to Wakanda still. They just kind of had to do it in like Infinity War. But yeah, that is a good point.
But also like,
it's not like he's friends with any of them either. They're just kind of like,
Winter Soldier was like there for like years. You know what I mean?
That's fair. Yeah, that's a good point.
So it was like a little strange, but I think,
I think it would have taken
me out of it. Because I didn't notice it until later. Yeah, because I think it's got to be pretty self-contained.
Yeah. If I just see like Bucky there, I'm like, oh shit, there's Bucky. That's so cool. And then I'm like taken out of like the emotional stakes of like the funeral.
Right.
You're because that shit is fucking awful to sit through.
Yeah.
Because it like feels real.
Because it is real.
It is real.
Yeah.
And so like when you see like the Black Panther thing on like the coffin, and like Letitia Wright has really good performances in this. Same thing with Angela Bassett. A lot of people have really good performances.
Oh, yeah.
And which I think is one of the stronger parts of this movie rather than the first one. But it's like, yeah, it feels very like gripping, and like everybody's kind of like going through the same thing in like some weird way.
Right.
So I thought that was cool. I also like how hyped their funerals are. Do you see those people like dancing?
Oh yeah.
There's that like shirtless guy that's just like like going crazy dancing. I'm like, this is sick. But it's kind of funny to like see them like dancing, like celebrating life, and then Okoye is just ripped apart pretty much.
Yeah.
But yeah, really cool. I think that I just love the identity of Wakanda.
Yeah. It's very,
it's just very so cool. People are just like standing on buildings and stuff.
Yeah. There's a scene where America is like looking for adamantium, right?
America? Oh yeah, America. Yeah.
America. And they're digging for it. And they have this actor that was from a lot of things, but she's in this. Her name's Lake Bell, the woman that was in that. I was like, what is Lake Bell?
Was there a bell somewhere?
I know her from like What Happens in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like a bartender at like Nick's bar in New Girl for like two episodes. They had like a thing.
Oh yeah.
I'm rewatching New Girl, so that was really fresh.
Good show.
Good, great show. But anyway, they have her in this just to kill her. I'm like, oh, that sucks.
I
feel like she could have been around.
I liked her.
Yeah, no.
I think she could have been like I don't know like what organization she was part of, like CIA or something.
Something like that.
It was really
cool. The government, Nathan.
The government. American government. But yeah, she was really cool. And that whole scene is crazy. I really like what they did with like some of the music, like sound effects and like stuff. So like when the Atlanteans are like singing and shit, it's like
almost like a siren kind of thing.
It is like, yeah, like a siren song, and it sort of like takes over like everything. You can barely hear the people talking, which is like on purpose in a way. And so it's really cool. I like some of those effects.
I had like realized that Sarah doesn't know like anything going into these. And so she's like whispering in my ear. She's like, are those mermaids?
I thought they were mermaids. I was like, oh, cool.
No. They're like, are they sirens? I'm like, shut up.
You'll find out.
I'm like, they're Atlanteans.
Is she the person that will ask you questions about that you're supposed to have in the movie?
Not a lot.
Okay.
But like, it is kind of funny sometimes.
Yeah.
I just never realize like what I know going into it and what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't ever express that to her. But
yeah. So people just jump in the water. Who knows what happens after that? They just drown, I guess.
They become Atlanteans? I don't know.
I don't think so.
But
I like the Atlantean designs, very aquatic. Some people have like some fish design things on them.
They're all just the Avatar people. They're the...
Yeah, but cooler like costumes, I think. I like that they have their face mask, but it's like full of water. I think that's really funny.
Yeah. They're all part of the Na'vi, which is like the Avatar species. Oh,
yeah.
Bunch of Na'vis working for him. So I thought it was weird that it was just Namor that was like not blue, you know?
Yeah, he's like a mutant.
Sure.
So he's, yeah. But the first shot of Namor, you don't really know that, like, you're not really, like, introduced fully to Namor yet. But I saw those wings, and I'm like, fuck yeah.
I was like, here we go.
And it's funny because no one else, like, really, you can't really see them. But I'm looking for him. I'm looking at his ankles every scene.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are those wings doing?
Yeah. And then we get that moment where we hear how he pronounces it.
Namor. And I'm like, fuck, dude.
I'm like, I guess with like an accent, it could sound that way.
The way,
but then everyone else starts just saying Namor after that.
It's because they like switch like the culture, like origins of Namor, and yeah. So it he got his name from like a Spanish like word. From I forget what it was specifically,
he
but
said, like someone said no love.
Yeah, so no love. So it's like Namor.
No,
so that's why like. I thought that was really clever too, because I doubt that's like what it was originally, right?
It was just
so,
Roman backwards.
It was like pretty sick.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, yeah.
I thought that was great. But then, yeah, everybody else was saying Namor. So I'm like, okay.
I'm cool with this.
Yeah. I'm cool with him just saying Namor, because it actually just sounded kind of cool when he says it.
Yeah.
And then everybody else saying Namor. I'm cool with that.
I wonder how many takes it took for him to say it like Namor. Cool like that, you know?
Yeah. He's like, what? Namor? But no, he was a great actor. I think he is such a good Namor.
I did like him a lot. He was like super likable.
I realized
I like that character a lot.
Yeah, me too. And I realized that the most important thing is the eyebrows. He's got some funky eyebrows.
Does he like have more. Like the Namor like eyebrows?
It's not as like accentuated, but he's still got some like fucking sharp ones that go down pretty far.
Okay.
But so, I just like love that character so much. Like in this movie, I think they did a really good job like redesigning him and like his powers. That's a tough thing to try and translate to the screen with like the wings.
Yeah.
And I like how they got in front of it, and they just like when you first see him like fully when he comes out of the lake, it like pans straight to his ankles, and so they just like get right in front of it. It's like, yes,
guess what this guy does.
Shuri makes fun of it, and so everybody has a good laugh, and then they just kind of go full force with it.
Yeah.
When he's fighting, he looks fucking dangerous.
Yeah.
When he's just like skiing around in the air or whatever and like slicing up some helicopters, I'm like, this dude's fucking dangerous.
The only thing I didn't like about his design is like, I think they forced this for like merchandising or something, but when he's like in, what was the place called?
Talokan.
He has like this like headdress thing that has a bunch of feathers and it's like a lion for some reason.
Yeah.
He just wears it for like a second. Like he doesn't wear it to war or anything.
That's a good point.
Why? And then I saw like pops for it before like the movie came out.
Hmm.
And I'm like, is that what he wears or whatever? But no. And I'm like, why is it a lion?
Yeah, that's a good point.
There's no lions in the sea.
No, you know? Lions in this movie.
Where'd they get these feathers from? Are they his feathers? Did he shed them?
I don't know.
But I don't know. I just didn't like that aspect of it. But normally, like, I'm glad that he just didn't have like a Speedo on, or he wasn't like just naked. Like,
I would have been cool with a Speedo.
What he was wearing, like, it seemed cool because he also had his own culture.
Yeah, the Mayan stuff.
The Mayan shit, which is cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
They had those blue suits that the Dora Milaje had in like the Black Panther book that we read.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, let's go.
I was like, we read a thing that
Ta-Nehisi Coates stuff. That's like it.
Yeah. Yeah, those were interesting. We'll definitely see those in the future, I assume.
Probably.
Because it was kind of like building up to it. But
yeah.
I was going to say, I love Angela Bassett in this and Winston Duke as M'Baku.
Winston Duke is the best.
I think when both of those characters were on screen, they like stole the whole like scene. Like,
yeah,
Angela Bassett acting in like that beginning part where she's like, our king's dead, but like, we're not weak. Like, don't make that mistake. I was like, that's badass as shit. And then when M'Baku comes up, he's like eating a carrot or whatever. And I was just like, I love that. I don't know. Just like the sass of him eating a carrot.
Yeah.
It was so good.
I thought my favorite part was in this is like, it's obviously centered around like Shuri and how she kind of goes from like a morning sister up into being like the new Black Panther, essentially, or whatever she wants to call it. The way she was acting, like the character was acting, was not like predictable. You know, she wasn't like, she's not like a perfect character.
Yeah.
Like, she's very vengeful and very, like, angry at, like, the world. And it was kind of like a mini arc just for her.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of realizing, like, how a warrior with this kind of power should be and, like, a leader should be for, like, Wakanda, basically. Yeah.
And I thought and it was,
as she is becomes a queen.
You know? I thought it was, like, really interesting to see her go from, like, kind of grieving and, like, burying herself in work to, like, going on a mission and kind of being a little bit loose. And then she has to, like, be a queen when she's going and see, like, Talokan and, like, trying to unite sort of nations and stuff.
Yeah.
That's, like, a lot on someone. And then her mom dies. Oh, and yeah. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
There's so much progress.
I wasn't expecting, like, another death in this, like, a character to die.
Me neither.
And so that was like, oh. And it was weird because, like, her mom saved her from drowning.
How did she do that? Yeah.
And then, like, she swims up, and then I guess she, I don't know, was swimming and, like, maybe inhaled some water or something. So she didn't end up making it, but, like, Shuri did. So that was, like, a little... Well, was it Riri?
Okay. It was Riri that she was saving in, like, the water.
Yeah. Right. You're right. And so I was just kind of confused.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
But we just kind of got to go
just
through
be like, not, I don't know. I'm fine with it. There's a situation where she had to sacrifice herself to save somebody else, making Shuri queen. So that's just like what happened. How cool are those water grenades? That was my favorite part. I was like,
they were cool.
When
conceptually,
they first,
I'm like, that's kind of dumb.
No, I loved it. That's why I liked it. So
it's
much.
Just condensed water somehow.
I love that, dude. When that first water grenade happens on like the bridge, I'm like, is that water?
And then they just totally like spam them.
It was like, so funny. Yeah.
They just have a big like fucking net full of them.
And I was like, oh, fuck, there's a lot of water. And I was in like, net.
This is so dumb.
I loved it, dude. I had the exact opposite reaction. I was like, this is such cool technology to me.
I was like, these are pretty strong people who can get stabbed and just come back to life and shit, and they have bombs, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if I like, they weren't very consistent with like the Atlanteans coming back to life, you know.
Yeah,
because on the bridge Okoye fights him, she fights him pretty good, and then they come back to life, but then at the end they're just fighting Atlanteans and they don't seem to come back to life.
I don't know. I guess I don't
really know. They weren't like as strong as they seemed on that bridge when it was like a million of them on a boat, so that was interesting.
I really liked Riri Williams in this.
I was kind of like lukewarm on her, I think. I liked what she brought to it, which, because like everybody's kind of like royalty and stuff, and she's kind of more like American and like street almost.
Yeah.
So I think she has like that sort of a fun dynamic. I don't know if I liked any of the Ironheart stuff though.
The
beginning, it makes sense. It's like she's using like this clunky stuff that she, you know, has been building and working on. So I like that it wasn't an Iron Man suit, like, right out the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she gets access to Wakanda technology, it makes sense that she would make something a little bit more streamlined.
Yeah.
But I just, like, didn't really like it that much. And I don't know what it is. I was excited to see it, for sure. It's just, like, the design seemed weird. Like, it was supposed to be a toy.
I think there is that, but I think I prefer that. But this is also just, like, the Mach 2. You know, for her.
Yeah, I think
I'd prefer her to kind of have like her own design, her own kind of like identity, not just like the next
Iron Man,
you know, because the OG like Ironheart cover, you know, where we first see her, it's very, very close to just Iron Man.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
And I don't think that would like fit as well.
Yeah, no, I've definitely want her to have her own identity. It's just whatever that, something about that suit, I don't know. Because I liked her guns and shit, too.
I liked the black that they incorporated into it.
I don't even remember any black.
It was like it was just like accents of black. I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
I saw it prior, so it wasn't like a shock for me. But it definitely helped out, you know, having that.
Yeah.
Her around.
I don't think that a lot of her jokes landed all the time with me. But I still liked like her dynamic as well.
Yeah, I thought they worked for me.
Mm-hmm. She's like, y'all stop having Black Panthers and I get kidnapped. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, but Ryan Coogler should probably just handle like every villain in Marvel.
Yeah, he's 2 for 2.
Because he's so good.
No one's 2 for 2 with villains.
3 for 3, Nathan.
Huh?
Claw.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yep.
3 for 3 villains. Yeah, Claw's a banger, too.
Definitely.
I was talking about movies, but yeah, no, he's like...
2 for 2 movies, yeah.
I think it's like a little bit easier to make good villains in this scenario, though, because it's all about like... No one's like necessarily wrong about how to like you know, rule a nation almost, or like
it's gotta be written that way though.
It does have to be written that way. Yeah, that's true. I guess it's easier for me to understand like their perspective. Like Namor, I'm just gonna keep saying Namor.
Good. No, Namor.
Yeah, Namor is just trying to protect his people. He's got discovered, and so he's trying to like unite nations and stuff. Like I get everything that he was talking about, and I don't think he's necessarily wrong, other than the fact that he just wants to kill everybody else. Probably not a good thing. But like you understand where he's coming from.
Yeah.
But yeah, he is really good at making villains. Mm-hmm. Not making them, but adapting them.
Yeah, and we actually get Killmonger.
That was a big surprise.
I was like, oh, because I did see that he was in this, but like IMDb is not that trustworthy before a movie comes out.
I had no idea. So I was like, oh shit, there's Killmonger.
Yeah.
And I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
I was afraid it was going to be T'Challa.
And then it also plays into Shuri's like arc, you know, yeah, that she was going through. But yeah, I think that's probably like a better way to go and probably makes more sense rather than just like a CGI version of like Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah. But there's like also other characters that you could have put there, like T'Chaka or
yeah, that'd be cool.
Or Queen Mom, whatever her name is in the movie.
Yeah.
Ramondan or something like that.
I'm not sure.
And I think that Killmonger is the most interesting one to put in that situation because he's kind of angry at Wakanda.
Yeah.
And Shuri at that point was angry kind of at the world and stuff that's happening. So it was cool seeing him. Definitely. He's always got sick hair. When yeah, you're on the ancestral plane, can you just choose what kind of hair you have? Because he did not have that hair when he died.
Whatever hair we want.
That's sick.
All seriousness aside, I was so distracted by Nakia's like ass.
I don't think
Lupita Nyong'o's like character.
Oh yeah, yeah.
When she has like suit on or whatever at the end, I was just like, oh my god.
I was like, they
couldn't have toned that down.
She's
a little
got
bit.
Great wardrobe.
I'll yeah. Say.
I like her a lot. I think she's a really interesting perspective as well.
Yeah, she's awesome. And then
I didn't expect her to see her in this because we don't really see her like in Infinity War or anything like that at all.
Mm-mm.
So
yeah, no, it seemed to work out well.
Yeah, but she's cool. And so she used to be Dora Milaje, right?
No,
I think she was.
She
but
was
then
some
she
sort
like
of spy.
Okay,
thing.
Maybe that's what it was.
But the Dora Milaje were always like with her. You mm-hmm. know,
I thought Okoye's arc was pretty interesting as well. Like when she got discharged or whatever they call it over there.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a little unfair. And then she explained everything and I was like, you know what? That's fair. So I was just like, I was like on her side the whole time. I'm like, she's just trying her best, you know? And then she explained everything and I was like, you know what? That was a bad move to bring Shuri and then lose her. Not a great thing to do.
I thought it was funny that they like forced Namor to say like Imperius Rex.
Yeah, I forgot that that's the thing that he said.
Me too. I was like, why did he say that? And I'm like, oh yeah, he does say that.
I saw a thread of like all the random things that like Namor used to say when he was trying to have a phrase.
Oh really?
And there's like Galloping Galloways or something like that. Like, it was like a bunch of really bad ones.
Yeah.
And I was like, Imperius Rex is kind of
I guess
sick.
It's like Latin and it means like Empire King or something like that, roughly. But
so
they didn't need to do that, but they did. And so I guess that's a comic thing.
I like it. And I don't think anybody would be like, the fuck did he just say?
I think everyone's was like that. No one was like gasping in like the theater or anything.
I think
sure people were like, I don't know what that was.
Yeah. I think everybody was like, I don't know what that is. And then like he gets blazed with fire.
Yeah.
I like that ending. I like the third act a lot in this movie. I don't really like that most of the Wakandans were just on a boat. I feel like that setting could have been a little bit better, but
yeah, same.
I still liked what happened mm-hmm. on there. And I really liked the last fight between like Shuri, Black Panther and Namor.
Yeah.
It was like, it felt like pretty brutal and she gets like stabbed in the stomach, like pretty intensely.
Yeah.
And still like, you know,
I think what made this movie like the strongest is the fact that it didn't have to be a certain length. It didn't have to be like shortened down to like 2 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
Like how some movies like feel. Like I feel like Thor Love and Thunder definitely felt like rushed. And I think.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then I think even Taika Waititi even came out and say that it had to be like 2 hours or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that 40 minutes, it was able to like breathe a little bit more and have everything it needed to fit.
I agree.
So
what do
more
you,
of that.
So you said that you'd cut out 15 minutes.
I didn't.
Ish.
I didn't write down all the scenes.
But what do you think could have been cut out that would have
I didn't write
not
down
impacted?
The scenes.
One scene. You know there's something on the top of your mind right now that you could cut out. Is it the Talokan city or like the exploration of that city?
I could have been shortened a little bit, I guess.
I think so. That city does not look great to live in.
No, it's pretty dark.
It's very dark, and everybody's just like working. I don't know. Like, I didn't really understand like the dynamics of this city.
It was just more down there. That's crazy.
Yeah, that sun was pretty cool. I just wish it was like a little bit more vibrant. She's just like swimming around.
I also didn't want it to just look like Aquaman City.
I don't even remember what Aquaman City looks like.
Very blue.
That's great.
So if I rewatched it, I would be able to write down all the scenes. I'm like, that doesn't really need to be in there. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like the scene where you could probably cut out the scene where they're just watching Riri Williams like walk to her dorm or whatever. You know, like that's not that important. You just start with her knocking on their door.
That's fair.
You know, the whole first attack by Namor. Like, there's always like, oh, the villain attacks us, kicks our ass, and then come back and redeem ourselves and beat them. So the first one.
Where they're trying to get the vibranium?
No, they're just like attacking just to attack like Wakanda.
Oh, when they attack Wakanda?
That could have been like a little bit shorter. They move Wakanda to like snow, like the area where M'Baku is from.
Yeah.
I don't really see like why that was like beneficial. It got people out of like protected the water people. And stuff, I guess, but it didn't seem like that like paid off to be like a good thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Which, speaking of that attack, I really like that one of their tactics is just flooding the place.
Yeah. It seemed to work out really well.
Yeah. Cause that will fuck your shit up. You know?
Yeah. Dude, water damage is the worst. I like, used to just, be in insurance.
Just shooting like bombs or stuff at people. Like, you can just kind of rebuild wherever the bomb hit, you know? Yeah. But when everything's like flooded, like everything's fucked up. You gotta get the water out of there.
Water damage. You gotta take out the drywall. Sometimes the,
yeah,
but it's probably sometimes the insulation.
It's going to get all mossy, you know?
All the floors are fucked.
Yeah,
you know,
you got to redo all that, and
if you got carpet, the carpet pad, it gets all swollen.
It's a terrible. Big pain in the ass.
Yeah,
so I like that aspect. I'm like, oh, this is like a really big danger. Mm-hmm. So,
but and then you probably could have cut out all the stuff with Agent Ross, you know, or at least cut it down.
No, I like him. I think
I do like him, but like as far as necessity to the plot,
he's just kind of communicating kind of what America's thinking, you know.
Sure.
So I think that aspect is valuable. But yeah. America doesn't really do much in this like movie, I guess.
Right.
They're just like,
they also connected that one lady that was in Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Was that her?
Yeah.
Okay. She didn't have the purple strand in her hair at the time, did she?
No. She didn't have longer hair, or like her hair was down or whatever.
Okay. Yeah. Because that's definitely setting up like Thunderbolts or whatever. So.
Sure. Or just like, even setting up, but just keeping her
like
around.
And around, yeah.
But anyway. Good movie.
Good
movie. Oh, also, and after credit scene.
Oh, yeah.
The reason Nakia left and didn't even go to the funeral is because she was prego, Nathan.
Mm-hmm. And T'Challa's like, I don't want him to have the pressures of royalty. Totally fair.
Yeah. And she's in like Haiti. How did they pronounce it? Like
they said Haiti.
Haiti.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in Haiti. And that's where he's grown up. And he's T'Challa Jr.
So cute.
Adorable.
And then he's like, my name's T'Challa, and I broke down.
Yeah.
Because it's so nice, you know. I don't know what they plan on doing with that, if they're going to do like a Young Avengers thing or I think
they probably won't do anything with it like soon, but I think it'll be cool to have for sure a while. Yeah, it's cool to have like something to build on, and like kind of like that legacy can like move on, you know?
It's a great tribute and like the best way to approach, keeping like the legacy of T'Challa on. So pretty cool. And when she burned her like white robe thing at the end, I was like, this is a nice scene.
Yeah.
I think she had a really good performance like throughout the movie.
Yeah, definitely. I was
pretty impressed. So anyway, yeah, good movie.
Good movie. Go watch it. Watch it again.
I did watch it again, actually. I saw it with Sophia.
Oh, okay.
We went to one of those dine-in movies.
Oh.
I had a jalapeno burger with some fries.
Sounds fire.
It fucked me up. I had to like go to the bathroom. It. Thank God I saw the movie, because I definitely went to the bathroom like halfway through.
I would not do anything that would mess with my stomach.
I think I skipped like the Atlantis part. I was like, they're going in, and I'm like, okay, I'm going out. I'm leaving. Anyway, yeah, good funny. Movie. What are we reading next week, Daniel?
What are we gonna read next week?
Next week, Kick-Ass?
Yeah, we'll just do Kick-Ass.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I've been wanting to read that. I've never read it before. So.
Yeah, neither have I.
Sweet.
Watch the movies before, like a schmuck, like a normie.
Yeah. I've watched Kick-Ass 1 and 2, but never read the book. So.
Never. I've only seen one, so this will be...
You haven't seen the second one?
No. I have it, but I don't...
The only thing I remember about the second one is that he does a one-arm pull-up at the end, and I was like, that's fucking crazy. Wow. I don't think I've ever seen a one-arm pull-up up until that moment, so...
But anyway, that is the show. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. If you want to tell us what to read, you can email us at traderspod@gmail.com. Link trees in the bios. Go follow the stuff if you'd like.
Yep. And thanks for listening.
Yep. Have a great day.
Peace out.
Happy Black Friday.